from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Top of the morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. It's great to be with all y'all this morning. We are live on LinkedIn, YouTube, Rumble, X, Twitch, and everywhere else you get your content. This show does not air live on Facebook, where we're in Facebook jail for apparently posting truth that their fact checkers deem to be untrue, but 100% true. So nonetheless, it airs after the fact and never live on Facebook and so forth. So without further ado, we've got a very, very busy show for all y'all. And I think every day I say that, like, we've got a busy show, but preparing for the show as a practitioner is very interesting for me, because I essentially, at the point when I'm preparing, I can kind of tell you the stuff that is going to be really kind of top of mind for me, or stuff that's kind of going to sit in the back, and I'm going to consider it in the future, part of strategy, part of risk calculations that I have for the business. And so today's show will have a mix of that. So we're going to address all of those today. Make sure you check out our Substack, jamesazar.substack.com. You can find exclusive content there. You can also support the show. And when you do support the show on Substack, we send you one of these awesome espresso travel mugs that are absolutely amazing, by the way, magnificent. So without further ado, join me for a coffee cup cheers this morning. Let's get this ball rolling. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. So everyone tuning in, what are you drinking? It's really important. So let's go ahead and start with a lot of vulnerabilities. Disclosure that are really happening over the last 24 to 48 hours. And I'll preface before I start off with this SharePoint exploit. I'll start off by saying the following. Whenever there's a reported vulnerability, there are attackers that are immediately scanning to find vulnerable endpoints in order to start developing exploits to gain access. And especially if the disclosure of the vulnerability lets you know what kind of exploit you need to get there. So at Pawn to Own over the weekend in Vancouver, the StarLab teams found this. This was last year. The StarLabs team found a flaw in Microsoft SharePoint. The flaw is CVE-2023-24955, as well as 29357. This two-bug exploit chain allows unauthenticated remote code execution on SharePoint servers with elevated privileges. It earned them $100,000 last year. Well, now they've disclosed their findings in September of last year. They released a POC in December, and less than a month later, CISA added it to their KEV catalog. Now, the second vulnerability that's part of this exploit chain, CVE-2023-24955, has also been added to the list. Now, no information is publicly available on the attacks exploiting these vulnerabilities, which are presumably chained, but nonetheless, if CISA's adding it, and they've given essentially federal government organizations until April 16th to resolve this patch, it just lets you know how significant that is. And currently in the KEV catalog, there are four SharePoint vulnerabilities that have been exploited in the wild since 2019. So again, that's extremely important to pay attention to. A lot of us are in Microsoft shops. SharePoint is a significant data storage, information storage, as well as processes. And one of the unknown things about SharePoint is if you're using your SharePoint as kind of the ultimate directory with all your MNPs, with your methods and procedures and whatnot, once an attacker is able to exploit SharePoint, they understand the methods and procedure, which makes their any sort of BEC, any sort of attachments, much more credible, as they would follow protocol and would seem identical to what's going on. Germany on their end and the German National Cybersecurity Authority warned yesterday that it found 17,000 Microsoft Exchange servers in Germany exposed online and vulnerable to at least one or more critical security vulnerabilities. The German Federal Office for Information Security, also known as BSI, says around 45,000 Microsoft Exchange servers in Germany have Outlook web access enabled and are accessible from the internet. 12% of those servers still use an outdated version of Exchange, meaning a 2010 or 2013 version, which has not received a security update since October of 2023 for 2010 and April of 2023 for 2013. For Exchange 2016 or 2019, servers exposed online of roughly 28% have not been patched for at least 4 months and are vulnerable to at least one critical security flaw exploited in remote code execution attack. 37% of Exchange servers in Germany, and in many cases also the networks behind them, are severely vulnerable. This corresponds to the approximately 17,000 system number that they had advertised. All in all, they show the CVEs and the amount of devices that are still remain unpatched based on the CVEs and their release dates. And so you can really tell the challenge there as well. BSI is also recommending restricted access to web-based Exchange server services such as Outlook Web Access and trusted IP addresses, or securing them through a VPN rather than making them accessible through the internet. All really good ideas, but this goes into the greater discussion around patching, which is you got to get your environments patched. You've got to be able to do it responsibly. 17,000, how many of these are small, mid-sized companies? That information is not shared, but it's likely that I doubt these are large organizations per se that are behind this. But then again, I say never underestimate someone's ability to be lazy and not think they would be targeted. Researchers at ETH Zurich University in Switzerland have demonstrated the row hammer attacks can be conducted against dynamic random access memory on systems powered by the AMD Zen 2 and Zen 3 CPUs. These were first discussed in 2014. Now, I just want to point out to this attack, it's complex. This isn't something that, again, universities have time and access to go around and play around with it. And it's almost like saying it's cold outside, we would all wear coats and beanies and we would warm ourselves up and we wouldn't spend a lot of time outside. Then universities take products and take testing and they'll put them outside in the snow, in the freezing cold, without any jackets on or without anything, and say, it got cold and it got the flu. Absolutely, you're right, it did. But you weren't using it in the traditional sense. Anything, every piece of technology, we have to accept this. And I know people want to change it, but it's not going to be very simple to change. It's going to have some flaw. And the way you mitigate those flaws is a defense in depth and zero trust security strategy. So you kind of put in layers so that this doesn't happen. In predominantly RAM type of attacks, some sort of physical access is required, or some sort of, you know, like hardcore device access would be required from a digital perspective in order to be able to execute them. So there's that. The team at the university researchers, and again, not dismissing the research they've done, I just want to be very clear about it. I just want to put it in kind of a picture for many, because we talk about these stories and I bring them on the show to kind of show the inherently difficult challenges we have as practitioners, because there is hardware, software, and firmware that go out there that is inherently always going to be vulnerable and requires us to take a defense in depth, zero trust type of approach to these devices, generally putting them behind multiple defense systems in order to ensure that when this happens, it's a dark day, not a regular day. The researchers claims that attacks like Zenhammer can be conducted despite the target row refresh mitigation, which should detect and prevent row hammers attacks by refreshing victim rows before the bits can flip. They, again, an interesting read all in all. Can this really take place? Maybe. Would someone do it? I think the cost of doing it is too much, and I think the success rate is going to be too little. So there's that. Rockwell Automation in the past week published 3 new security advisories that inform customers about a total of 10 vulnerabilities discovered recently in its FactoryTalk, PowerFlex, and Arena simulation products. CISA also released advisories to inform organizations about the vulnerabilities found in the industrial automation giant's products. One of the advisory describes six flaws found and patched in Arena simulation software. The list includes five high-severity arbitrary code execution vulnerabilities and one medium-severity information disclosure and denial of service issue. Exploitation of each vulnerability requires convincing the targeted user to open a malicious file. Rockwell Automation credited researcher Michael Heinzel for reporting these vulnerabilities. He's often credited by vendors for reporting potentially serious vulnerabilities whose exploits involve opening specially crafted files. In the case of the Arena simulation software vulnerabilities, Heinzel on Tuesday published his own advisories on his personal website. The researchers' advisories reveal that exploitation involves specially crafted DOE files, and the findings were reported to the vendor through CISA in late November of 2023. Rockwell Automation recently announced that Stephen Ford has joined the company as vice president and CISO to help address some of these challenges. And they're dealing with a whole bunch, including a DOJ investigation into their supply chain. They're writing code in China. So there's that. Thousands of companies that are using the Ray framework are exposed to cyber attacks, according to researchers. The open source AI framework known as Ray is being targeted actively with an exploit in a disputed vulnerability. The tool is commonly used to develop, deploy large-scale Python applications, particularly for machine learning, scientific computing, and data processing. According to Ray's developers, AnyScale, the framework is used by major tech companies like Uber, Amazon, and OpenAI. Researchers at Israel-based cybersecurity firm Allego Security found that thousands of publicly exposed Ray servers worldwide were compromised due to vulnerability tracked as CVE-2023-48022, dubbed by the company as Shadow Ray. The flaw allows attackers to take control of companies' computing power and leak sensitive data. Impacted organizations came from many industries, according to the report, including medical companies, video analytics firms, and elite educational institutions. Some of the affected devices were compromised for at least 7 months. The attackers leaked a trove of sensitive information via the compromised servers, according to researchers. Some of the credentials required to access the database were exposed, allowing attackers to silently download complete databases on some machines. Attackers could also modify the database and encrypt it with ransomware. This was discovered back last year and was not initially considered a serious risk and wasn't promptly fixed. According to the National Vulnerability Database, the flaw allows a remote attacker to execute arbitrary code via the job submission API, an interface provided by the framework to submit computational tasks or jobs for execution. AnyScale stated that the report on this flaw is irrelevant because Ray is not intended for use outside of a strictly controlled network environment. And they know this. They know this, folks, because apparently the folks at Allego Security were like, hey, this is really happening. And these guys are like, well, that's not the way you're supposed to use it. You're also not supposed to run people over with your car. Still happens. Still happens. Someone needs to kind of look at this and go, you know, we've often talked about the challenges of AI and how it's being used. This one is there as well. They're also seeing crypto mining as part of these types of attacks. You want to double check if your team is using it and if this has been mitigated as well. Now let's focus on China. We've got two stories around China real quick. And again, the more stuff we're seeing around China's cybersecurity activity and kind of their cyber attack infrastructure, the more you're starting to realize that the world's no longer shutting up to China, meaning people are really starting to actively speak up and starting to point the finger at the Chinese, and that's going to have some consequences. The 2021 breach on the Finnish parliament is now being attributed to APT31, a Chinese hacking group linked to the Chinese Ministry of State Security. Since the hack, a joint criminal investigation with the Finnish Security and Intelligence Services and international partners has looked into multiple suspected offenses, including aggravated espionage, violation of communication secrecy, and breaking into the Finnish parliament's information systems. The investigation exposed a complex criminal infrastructure, according to Detective Chief Inspector Aku Limanel of the National Bureau of Investigations. The Finnish parliament said 3 years ago when describing the incident that a state cyber espionage operation was taking place. On Monday, the Treasury sanctioned two of APT31's operatives, as well as several others. The UK also did the same. Again, you're sanctioning guys that are never going to leave China to begin with. There's got to be consequences to Chinese diplomatic missions and Chinese goals in the nations if you plan to do anything. Otherwise, all this is lip service. by weak administrations unwilling to factually take real action against China. Real action against China goes, you're going to have to shut down a consulate. You are no longer allowed to do that. We're going to limit your tourist visas by X amount of dollars. We're going to limit imports. We're going to tax stuff. We are going to look for alternatives. That all of those things are not happening. They just give us headlines to talk about. Additional information coming out from the OFAC and the Department of Justice campaign here, the indictment that was unsealed about Chinese hackers also having no limits, including targeting family members of their suspected targets. This is again being attributed to APT-31. APT-31, according to the indictment, between 2015 and 2024, targeted thousands of U.S. and Western politicians, foreign policy experts, academics, journalists, and democracy activists. In many cases, they focused on politicians that the Chinese government perceived as being critical of the Communist Party government policies in China. There are generally individuals who are aware of the risk that China will try to surveil them, but they cannot always be said to their family members. And that's one of the things they actually did, is while the target may have bolstered their security, often they don't do that to their family for multitude of reasons. You don't want your family, you don't want to change the habits of your family, you don't want to inconvenience the family, and you would think that the Chinese would have some sort of code of ethics. They don't. They don't. I'm not saying all Chinese people, but I'm saying the Chinese Communist Party has no code of ethics. They lie, steal, cheat. They do whatever they need to do because they've got a goal they want to achieve. And until they achieve it, they're going to stop at nothing to do it. They're targeting family members. They're targeting wives. They're targeting children. They're going after those people in order to get to the people they're trying to get to. The Department of Justice has indicted more than 40 individuals who were part of the scheme by the Chinese Ministry of Public Security. Again, there's nothing. There's no extradition treaty. These people aren't going to hop a plane and turn themselves in the U.S. They're going to continue to live with it. This indictment will be a memoriam to their greatness of what they did for the Chinese Communist Party. And we, again, look like we're playing by our rules against people who don't play by our rules. And we can play our rules apply to American people and American citizens. So we ought to apply different rules to our adversaries because they don't play by the same rules either. And now our latest story is an Agenda ransomware that's targeting the VMware ESXi servers. The Agenda ransomware groups has been ramping up infections worldwide thanks to a new and improved variant of the virtual machine-focused ransomware. Agenda, a.k.a. Kaolin and Water Giliora, was first reported in 2022. It's a Golang-based ransomware. They've now stepped up their attacks on VMware virtual machines. Trend Micro recently found a Rust-based version of their malware, and they're setting their sights squarely on VMware vCenter and ESXi servers. They're attractive targets for ransomware because they often host critical systems and applications, and the impact of a successful attack could be significant. Something to keep an eye on and talk to your EDR and XDR providers about as they continue to target those systems as well. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back with a whole lot more tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, with all the latest and greatest. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Thank you all for tuning in. And most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.